السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable أمير مجلس حضرت مولانا مفتی غلام سمدانی صاحب مدظ اللہ العالی، آنریبل علماء اکرام، ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز، برادرز، مدرز اینڈ سسٹرز اینڈ بلاوڈ ینگسٹرز، بفور آئی مینشن اینی تھنگ ریلیٹڈ ٹو وائی وی آر سٹنگ ہیئر ٹوڈے، آئی وڈ لائک ٹو ریپیٹ دا سیم تھنگ ایز دا آنریبل علماء اکرام ہیو ریپیٹڈ بفور می، دیٹ آئی ڈونٹ کنسیڈر مائی سیلف بی فٹنگ and worthy of standing here in front of me in the presence of my elders and my teachers, to whom I look upon in daily life as my guide and as my role models. But since it's their command, and not to fulfill their command is a disrespect, I'm standing in front of you for a few minutes and to share with you what I've learned from them and literally experienced from their lives on daily basis. My honorable respected brothers and elders, as Muhtaram Ali Farid Saab mentioned in the beginning of his majlis, that we are sitting here to discuss about a personality who is the objective, the reason for the existence of this dunya. We should not underestimate our sitting here. MashaAllah, may Allah reward you and give you more strength and accept your sacrifice. Ameen. Some of you, or at least half of you, are sitting here since the Asr Salah. And Allah is my witness, a few minutes ago I was thinking in my heart, it's difficult for us in New York to make the majma sit for more than 1 hour or 1.5 hour. When we plan the majalis, we are afraid that the majma will go away, doesn't have this istidad and capacity. And mashallah, may Allah reward you and give you more strength. Ameen. You are sitting here, and alhamdulillah, a couple of other scholars are also remaining, they have to speak. So we should not underestimate our sitting here. We are sitting to discuss the life who is the objective and the reason for the creation of this universe. When the president of a country is sworn in, the inauguration ceremony, or a huge personality, big personality dies, the event that follows is in his memory. So people, when they get a chance to participate in those gatherings in memory of so-and-so, or in the inauguration of the president of so-and-so country, they take it as an honor. They take it as a level, as a sign of respect. And they take pictures and they save it for the future generations to come. And they tell the future generations and the kids, look, I participated in so-and-so gathering. So we are sitting in the gathering to discuss the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qazi Ayaz rahimahullah mentions in his famous book of Sirah, Kitab al-Shifa, Bita'arifi Ahwal al-Mustafa, he mentions that the ulama have said it, that when Allah created intelligence and intellect, and Allah distributed it among His creation, the comparison between the intelligence given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the remaining creation is such, since the inception of this dunya until the end of this dunya, the entire humanity that will come, has come, is there and will come, Allah gave them the intelligence. If that entire intelligence is collected, it will be equal to a dust particle. Edison, Steve Jobs, and all these people are gaining from that intelligence that is combined and is equal to one dust particle. And the intelligence given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like the sand of the entire dunya. Is like the sand of the entire dunya. Registan ho aur uska ek zarra jo hai puri insaniyat mein taqseem kar diya jaye, ye insaniyat ki aqal hai jo Allah ne usko di hai, aur isme ye genius rozana paida hote hain jinki baatein hum sunte hain aur unki ijadat se hum rozmarra ki zindagi mein fayda uthate hain, aur baaki jitni puri duniya ka registan hai, ye sara ka sara aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ko jitni aqal di gayi hai uske manind hai. So this is the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should not underestimate this gathering. My respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us infinite blessings and ni'mats. uncountable ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there upon all of us. And ulama divide this into two categories. One are the zahiri ni'mats and one are the batini ni'mats. There are certain ni'mats that are tangible. We feel them, they hit our bodies, and we can grasp them, we can hold them. But there are certain ni'mats of Allah that are not tangible, that are not physical. They are there. We feel them, but we cannot grasp them. They don't have a physical body. Example, there are many examples, just to make it short. Example of a physical ni'mat, an apparent ni'mat of Allah, the sun. The sun gives us the light in the day. If sun is not there, we cannot work in the day. The sun gives us the heat in the summer. If heat is not there, the sun is not there, the entire creation will freeze to death. This is one of the example of an apparent ni'mat of Allah. Example of a hidden batini ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur of iman. Iman itself is not something that can be held in the hand. It does not have jism, it does not have physical body. But iman can be felt when you see a person that he has iman in Allah or not. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen and held. But it is there in the heart, it can be felt by the actions of that person. Likewise, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have a jism, does not have a physical embodiment, but it can be seen in the life of a believer that how much he loves his way of talking and acting, his face, his body, his attire. He tells us that how much he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the examples of hidden ni'mats of Allah. And the purpose of this mentioning this is that out of these infinite blessings of Allah, zahiri and ma'navi, apparent and not apparent, the greatest blessing of Allah upon humanity is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman is the shart and condition to enter Jannah. From whom did we get iman? We got it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our entering Jannah is dependent on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who told us that Allah is there who created us? Nobody told us except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the one through whom we understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Got the knowledge of Allah. Who told us what is the objective and purpose of coming, of our coming in this dunya? It is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of the objective of this life, and the knowledge that iman has to be there to enter Jannah, is all this comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a ni'mat for us in this dunya also, in the qabr also, in the hashar also, all the way till we reach Jannah on the day of judgment. So this tells us that he is the greatest blessing and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all of us. Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, one of our pious predecessors and an ulama of the near past, after mentioning this, what I just mentioned, I'm sharing from what he gave us. After mentioning these details, he says that the fundamental rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon every believer are three. The fundamentals, the bunyadi huquq of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke jo ummat ke upar hai, wo teen hai. Qari sahab rahimahullah mentions this. My respected elders and brothers, the more the caliber of the person, the more the status of a person, the more he has rights upon us. Why do our parents have so much rights upon us? Because they have done so much for us. Why has Allah mentioned the rights of the spouses? Because they are the most nearest relationship that Allah has created in humanity. Humanity on the face of this earth. So the more the relationship, the more the ihsan, the more the obligations, the more we have to return, the more the favor has to be returned. So the greatest favor of Allah is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, the greatest huquq is he has upon us. And mashallah, Mufti Azaz Ajmeri Sahib Madazilluhu mentioned, elaborated very beautifully through this hadith, that the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should exceed and go beyond the love of we have for our parents and have for our progeny and have for the entire creation. So three huquqs are there: azmat, muhabbat, ittiba', to have absolute reverence, utmost respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to have complete love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to have do the complete obedience and following of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just a couple, one example for each of the three, inshallah, and then I will finish. As far as azmat and reverence is concerned, the criteria and the generation to love to learn from are the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in. Imam Malik rahimahullah, Mufti sahab maddazilluhu, was just mentioning before me, Imam Malik rahimahullah, it is mentioned in the books, Qaidiyyah sahab rahmatullah alayhi has also mentioned, jab se unhone hosh sambhala, Madine ki galiyon mein chappal pehenke nahi chale, ya joote pehenke nahi chale. Since he got this understanding and a differentiation between good and bad, he never wore slippers or shoes and walked in the streets of Medina. I'm not telling a masala in front of you, mashallah, my elders are here, this is not a masala. I'm just mentioning the reverence and azmat Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah, the faqih of Darul Hijra Medina, had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon asking, he said, I dislike this, that maybe on a certain street, on a certain spot, the Mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have stepped, and I would step on that place with my slippers. I take it against the absolute respect that I have for him. This is azmat, and they have set an example for us. As far as muhabbat is concerned, Mufti Sahab, Mufti Azhar Sahab gave us many examples from the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Just for the youngsters who are sitting here, Shaykh Hadith Sahab rahimahullah mentions in Fazale Amal the story of Musab ibn Umair radiallahu an. A youngster like the youngster sitting here, a youngster who was spending a life of luxury and comfort in Makkatul Mukarrama to such an extent that each and every suit that he wore, one piece of shirt and one trouser or one pant, cost 200 dirham silver coins at that time. Take it and understand it in such. Our kids are lost, and they are insane, and they are so much into it that we have to buy branded clothes. Nike, Echo Unlimited, and Ralph Lauren, and all these are the criteria for our youngsters, to even for us today. Criteria. So in other words, he wore branded clothes even in that time. 200 dirhams is not a joke. In such a life of luxury, if the perfume that he used, and he used to walk in the street of Medina, a trail of fragrance was left behind, and people after him would come and understand that Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu has just passed by from there. In other words, he did not buy his perfume from discount stores, or he didn't go to slickdeals.com. In other words, he bought his perfume from Macy's and Bloomingdale's. So imagine, understand in this perspective, the life of Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepted the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iman came into it, inculcated in his heart, and the love that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, he didn't expose his Islam. When it was exposed, the mother stripped him of his clothes. He had to take clothes or borrow clothes to cover his body. Migrated to Abyssinia, Habsha, returned back, migrated to Medina, and the life was such that once Rasulullah sallallahu was sitting in the Masjid al-Nabawi, he saw Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu passing in front of him, rough and tough, as we say in today's language, patches on his clothes. He recalled the previous life of Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Tears rolled down his cheeks, and he said, this is Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, who gave so much sacrifice for deen. In the Battle of Ahad, he was a flag bearer of the Muslimin. The Kuffar came, cut his hand, he took the flag in the other hand, cut the other hand, he clamped the flag in between the bleeding arms and his chest. An arrow pierced him. He fell down. Before the flag fell down, another Sahabi radiallahu anhu got hold of the flag. When it was time for kafan and dafan, the kafan that he got was so short that if it was pulled towards the head, the feet would be exposed. If it was pulled towards the feet, the head would be exposed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cover the head and put the leaves on his feet. Imagine from where he started and where he ended. What was this? This was the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has penetrated his heart. So these are ideals and role models for us, and criteria for us, that what is the level of respect that is required for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Coming on the last thing, ittiba, complete following. Another, I would request you to bring yourself and understand this incident in today's perspective. An ambassador of a country, when he is sent to another, we are from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, or other countries that we are. If an ambassador of India comes to the US, He gets diplomatic immunity. You understand what I'm saying? Diplomatic immunity. He commits a crime. He's an untouchable in this country. Because he is the ambassador of a certain country. He represents the entire nation. In the Sulh Hudaybiyah, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu had diplomatic immunity. He was sent as the ambassador of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine his caliber. Imagine his status. Imagine the responsibility and the position he was. In the morning after Fajr, with his Jatazad Bhai, with his cousin, he was walking towards the Kuffar of Makkah to present the terms or to ask their terms, and his shalwar and trousers were all the way to nisf pindli, to half calves, halfway between the knee and the ankles. And it was a mizaj of the Kuffar that the more rich a person is, the more higher the person is in the society, the more his cloth would be dragging on the floor. So the Jatazad Bhai, the cousin, told him, "What is this, Uthman radiallahu anhu? You know the mentality, they will take you as a poor person, koi gareeb aadmi aa gaya. They won't understand that you are representing the nation. You are representing the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." His reply is an eye-opener for all of us, young or middle-aged or old, that this was the level of complete obedience the Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these are the people we should be looking for. And these are ideals. What was his reply, more or less to the nearest meaning in English? He said, "This is how I saw my Aqa, my master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dressing. This is how his trousers are. So this is what I'm going to do." In other words, in layman words, he was saying, though somebody calls me a fundamentalist, though somebody calls me coming from an uncivilized nation, though somebody says that he does not have the guts to walk hand by hand in the 21st century, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what I have to follow, and this is what I have to make a criteria for. We cannot reach, forget about the Sahaba, we cannot reach even the dust of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But these are examples for us to learn in everyday life. Huzaifa bin Yaman conquered the last city of the Sassanid Empire, the Persian Empire. Take the superpowers and the most civilized nations of today. Once again, come in this perspective. You are sitting in you are sitting in the first world country, any first world country in the world. You are considered the most advanced civilization on the face of this earth. And you are sitting with the cream of Chicago, the mayor, the governor, and you are having dinner or lunch. To such an extent you have to think that which fork to use. If this is a dinner fork, or this is a salad fork, or this is a dinner spoon, or this is the dessert spoon. So much etiquettes and intricacies are there, and delicacy are there. Huzaifa bin Yaman was in the same situation. He was sitting on the dastarkhan of one of the superpowers of that time. Those of you who went to school in this country, learned world history in the 6th grade, this is what we learned, that the aqueducts of Rome in the time of Augustus Caesar was such that they are comparable to the water distribution today in New York City. This was the level and efficiency of water distribution in the time of Rome before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were literally civilized nations according to that time. And Huzaifa bin Yaman was sitting on their table. The morsel fell down. He was picking it up, cleaning it, and about to put it back in his mouth, as is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His companion did this to him. As we say in Urdu, madrat ke saath ke log kya samjhenge, tum nadide ho, kabhi khane ko nahi mila, what will people think of you? There is so much uncivilized, you're not even ready to leave a single morsel on the dastarkhan. What was his reply? Atruku sunnat rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liha ula'il humaqa. It feels bad to translate the word humaqa in this masjid, in this musalla. I feel bad to literally go in the translation of the word ahmaq. The nearest meaning would be, would I leave the sunnah of my master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these crazy and ignorant people? Put it in today's time, and you're sitting with the mayor of Chicago. I would ask myself that, would I think twice, or would I just forget even and not even know this morsel has fallen down or not? Because what will people think of me in this majlis? So this was a level of obedience Sahaba radiallahu anhum had. So my respected elders and brothers, to wrap up, these are the three rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we claim something that we love Rasulullah, the claim will be verified on the day of judgment. Allah
Allah will ask us for the evidence, for the dalil, for the proof, to verify our claim. Muhabbat is the claim, love is the claim, and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the dalil, is the evidence, is the proof for that claim, that yes, we do love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all grant me and all of us the azmat, the muhabbat, the ittiba, the reverence, the respect, the love, and complete obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen.